Queen. It's time to start.
What are you doing?
Trying to be a beacon girl.
Why? For what?
But Andre, visibility matters. We need to show who we are.
Yes. Authentic visibility matters. I don't know how authentic you're being right now, though.
Okay, fair enough. Be that way. Take away all my fun.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Welcome. Yes, Clayne. Welcome to the queer experience. No, but seriously, welcome. Today we're talking about being the token gay. If you have a responsibility to do it and what that should look like.
Yeah. I am in the camp that authenticity should rule. So for some folks, that yes, claim, make it work, is who they feel they are. And that's how they like to express themselves. And that's super cool. I am most definitely not that type of person. So that's not how I express myself. What about you, Bruce?
No, absolutely. I agree with you. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the key things that we're hitting on with this podcast, with this, you know, entire, all the episodes that we do, is to show that there's more than one way to be gay. Being, you know, part of the LGBT plus community just means that you like a little, you know, you're a little bit different, but that doesn't mean that you got to fulfill the stereotypes 24/7. You got to be who you are, and that's the only way to do it.
So what you're saying is, it's okay that I don't like drag.
It is okay that you don't like drag. It's also okay if you did like drag.
Yeah, but everyone likes drag, and this is not really my thing.
Oh, so I didn't tell you the story yet. We talked, you know, I guess a couple weeks ago on Valentine's Day about, you know, what I was going to do with my boyfriend. So we went to dinner. I didn't do the, yeah, I never gave you the follow-up on that. So we,
You did a drag performance for your boyfriend?
Not quite that cool. But we did go to dinner, yeah, like the following weekend. Went to dinner to this, you know, one of his favorite places. And it's a gay restaurant / gay bar. The night that we went, we didn't know this beforehand, but they were having a drag show. It was a lot of fun. It was see people being free. And there's something very beautiful in that, I think.
I mean, they're performing. And there's freedom in performing. It's just not my gig. It's just not my gig.
Sure. It doesn't have to be. I'm just saying that I'm glad that I, even though I haven't, you know, really experienced, I've never been to a drag show. That was really my first experience with it. I would like to learn a little bit more. Like, I was intrigued. I don't really want to do it myself, but I want to know a little bit more about it.
I'm sure we will have a drag queen as a guest soon enough.
Yes, queen! Work it!
Oh, joy.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to find a drag queen that, like, plays in a football league or something.
That would be really cool.
That's another thing. There are so many gay sports leagues in so many cities. Not where I live, of course,
mm-hmm.
but there are lots of gay kickball and dodgeball and football and softball and probably boxing. I don't know.
absolutely.
Not saying
absolutely. There.
Not saying that you should only play with other queers, but like I think that speaks to how big the community is in terms of diversity. That not every gay is someone who likes things typically associated with femininity. And I think gay people, just like all people, have a mix of some quote-unquote feminine things and some quote-unquote masculine things, et cetera, et cetera. All unique combinations, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's cliche to say it, but it's true. There's a spectrum of not only sexuality, but of gender. Well, we're getting into a complicated subject here. But, yeah, of gender expression as well. There's a spectrum there that, you know, you're not going to fall into one box or the other. And if you try to, then you're just being – you're lying to yourself. And
Yeah. I personally think the issue isn't necessarily that we, quote-unquote, gender certain behaviors and activities. It's more that we shame people who do things associated with the other gender, because people should be free to do what they love to do, you know?
That's absolutely true. And, I mean, it's just about personal freedom to me. Is just, I mean, that's what it comes down to, is be who you are, be authentic.
So what I'm hearing you say is, yes, Liberty, right? Is that, did you guys catch that?
Yes, girl. Absolutely. That is quite true.
But with that said, with authenticity, how do we, there are a lot of folks who may feel that they have to express themselves in certain ways. And let's go to the bigger community. Mm-hmm. We will talk about gender performance within the queer community at a later date, I'm sure. But thinking about, like, how people in different places around the U.S. and around the world feel like they have to act a certain way because they don't see other gays in their community, or they don't see other guys or other gals or other folks who behave the way that they behave or like the things that they like, et cetera, et cetera. Let's say, like, for instance, you're originally from West Virginia. I'm currently living in Oklahoma. Both places not exactly known for being the friendliest towards queers.
Sure.
Do we have a responsibility to, as people who are out, to, like, make sure that people, to be visible?
Whenever you were saying that, in my head, I, you know, going back to a discussion of religion and of Christianity, there's that in the faith as well, of you have to, you know, be a good example to show what a good Christian life is. And I feel like that is, it's entirely equivocable, even though it's, we're talking about two separate issues. There is that mm-hmm. pressure as well to, you know, to show, not to be, you know, hooking up in bathhouses and all this stuff, but to be, I mean, you get what I'm saying, though, right? That you have to.
Some people want to hook up in bathhouses. I probably would not do that. But I think I understand what you're saying. So you're saying, just like how a Christian should live as an example of what a Christian faith really is, if you're someone who's queer, you should live authentically, but outwardly. So folks know what your identity is and know that you're still you, regardless of
exactly
who you may love or what your body may be.
Exactly. To be, I mean, it's more than just, oh, well, look at this gay guy. I didn't know gay guys could be that masculine. It's not about that. It's about, you know, having character, about having morality, and not even in a religious sense, but just being a good person. And that's how we overcome homophobia, in my opinion, is whenever you know a queer person, oh, they're not the Antichrist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to. There is a little bit of responsibility there. And if you deny that, I don't know. Do you disagree with that?
It's hard. When I was working in an office, like as an advisor, I was the only queer person in the office. Mm-hmm. And it started becoming a thing where any time any student came in and was like, I'm having questions about my sexual orientation, I'm having questions about my gender identity, it was always, oh, go talk to Andre. And it became a thing where I was the quote-unquote token gay, where it was, I'm now responsible for shepherding all these people through these major identity crises, or just identity conflicts or questions, identity questions.
And there's a good and bad side to that, though, isn't there? I mean, you're helping these kids that they need somebody to talk to that understands what they're going through. But on the other hand, it kind of makes you – it turns you into this free show factor that, oh, well, here's our token queer you can talk to. So, I mean, there's that dichotomy that you have to recognize, but how do you overcome that? Should you even try to overcome that?
I don't know. I guess this also is being a black guy who mostly lives in white areas and works mm-hmm. with mostly white people. I was often took in black in that office for a long time. And
yeah.
so, and even when I was working with little kids, I could see that a lot of boys were just drawn towards me because they weren't used to seeing men in elementary schools working with them. And a lot of the kids of color were drawn towards me because they weren't used to seeing a person of color coming and working in elementary school. So on the one hand, it's like, that's cool. There's like this cool connection that's already like, I want to say like built in, like we're robots or something. But it almost felt like, oh, there's like this snap connection I can make with these students or these others in the community. But on the other hand, it can grow tiring when everyone expects you to always be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I felt frustrated, like, well, just because you're not queer doesn't mean you can't learn about the queer experience and help someone with that,
Absolutely true.
And am I a bad person?
That's what we're asking, and neither of us really have an answer to that. I don't even know that we need to have an answer, but it's necessary to explore, to recognize that there is a good and a bad quality of being an out and visible gay or lesbian or trans or whatever. There is a responsibility with that that's probably not exactly fair, but it's necessary for the other queers out there and that aren't able to be their authentic self like you are.
So let's say someone's bisexual. Is it then beholden mm-hmm. on that person to carry around one of those three-stripe flags at all times? And that way when folks are like, what's that flag you're carrying? You can be like, well, I am a non-monosexual. I like people of all sexes. Ha, ha, ha. Or, like for instance, I wear a rainbow bracelet. Is that enough to be visible, or should I be doing more to make my visibility known?
Sure, I get what you're saying. To me, it's not even about, how you don't have to drape a flag over your head and walk around 24/7. That's not what it's about. It's about, just being open. Not whenever someone asks you a question that you kind of hints at your sexuality and you dance around it because it's easier. I'm not sure if that's great. If you're okay, you mentioned bisexual, so let me go ahead and put this towards you. There is a lot of, I guess I don't have data to back this up, but, just from people watching, there's a lot of bisexuals that only talk about it whenever they're in a same-sex relationship. Whenever they're in a relationship with the opposite sex, it's a lot easier just to, I'm a guy, I'm with a girl, it's that simple. But it's not really that simple. And I feel like I'm judgmental, and I don't mean to be. But you kind of have to just tell your authentic story, even if it's not the easiest option.
If you're someone who's out, you don't necessarily need to be loud and proud 24/7, 365, but you also need to be honest when asked.
Yeah, that's what I would say. It's not even that you're being dishonest, but I'm sure you know what I mean. Whenever you half answer a question because it's easier not to give all the details. I mean, I do that. I'm sure mm-hmm. everybody does that. So, I mean, that's really what I'm talking about, is just to not be afraid to talk about what's going on and what's who you are, even if it's not the easiest option.
And what about, should we say as teen queers who live in maybe not the most queer-affirming locations, does that mean that we should be getting involved with our local queer communities if they exist, or trying to start queer communities if they don't exist, so that we can have the means of reaching out to people who may be either too afraid or not in a position to be able to publicly come out?
Well, I think it depends on how you're asking it. If you have a responsibility as a person, then no, you have to do what feels good to you. But if you have a responsibility as a citizen, then maybe. But that's a bigger issue. That's, you know, you tackle the citizen aspect of it after you're okay with yourself. You have to kill those inner demons before you can get to that point.
Yeah, but I don't think you need to be perfect before you can start helping and reaching out to other people.
No one's perfect. But whenever you're too insecure to even say that, well, I have a girlfriend, but I also kind of like boys, whenever you can't even say that, then you probably shouldn't wrap a rainbow flag and march down the street. If you want to do that, by all means, you know, you should if you want to, but you don't have that responsibility, not really.
I think this is an interesting question to put up to our listeners. I would love to see on Twitter some of your responses to this, because it's something I've struggled with both personally and professionally. What about you, Bruce? Have you thought about this before?
Yeah, and even though it sounds like I'm advocating for a certain position, I'm more just, you know, putting out my theory. You can set me straight and I'll, you know, happily accept that. But this is kind of, you know, how I'm feeling right now. And that's what we're doing,
Bruce,
is just exploring these issues. Yeah.
No one can ever set you straight. I hate to say this, but you're a sexual orientation of probably.
Yes, queen. Preach it.
And we were driving around, and I was giving him directions. I was like, oh, you need to go straight. And he was like, oh, we don't go straight. We go gaily forward.
That's really cheesy, but I like it. It's cute. But please do give us your opinion on Twitter. We're a lot more active on Twitter than Facebook, but on either. The handle is @OQEPodcast. Hit us up. Let us know what you're thinking, whether it's, you know, a tweet at us or send us a private message if you want to keep it private. But we want to hear your story. We want to hear your opinion. And, you know, it's a public discussion. I look forward to it.
Yeah, and if you're someone who – and I think I speak for both of us when I say that it was definitely times when being in the closet, you were even afraid. I know I would have been way too afraid to follow – something with queer in the name of it, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter, because it's like, oh no, someone can look up who I follow and see that and find out.
Yeah.
Feel free to private message us on Facebook or DM us on Twitter. Let us know you're out there. We will be discreet. I guess that's the word for it.
Absolutely.
But we know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And even, I mean, what you're describing is me just a couple years ago. I mean, I get that. That hits home for me. That's okay if that's you. I mean, don't stress about it. Do everything at your own time when you're ready. And if you want to reach out to us, we're here to talk. We won't out you. Don't worry about that. It's, you know, we want to know your queer experience.
Exactly.
Andre, I have a question for you before we wrap up.
Yes.
So I work in customer service a lot, and I find it's a little bit different there, because when you're in a professional setting, you're in the university a lot, you can't really, it's unprofessional to show who you are and to, you know, talk about things that are very personal to you. So where do you... Let me make this a little more concrete for you, I guess. You say that you wear a rainbow bracelet, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't do that in customer service. And I don't think that's good of me not to do that. Because, I mean, if you work for tips, you have to kind of meet them on a certain level, that kind of thing. But at some point, that's just an excuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so where do you draw
different?
That line?
Well, so in working for a university, it's different because we're all about helping students make their own path professionally, academically, and personally. So with that comes some self-exposure. Simply put, like, you have to put yourself out there to a certain degree. But on the other hand, you know, like, seeing a student shouldn't be your therapy session. So students knew vaguely that, most of my students knew that I was gay, knew that I was a Christian, could tell that I was Black, and knew that I wasn't native to Ohio. But they didn't know much more than that unless it was relevant. So a student comes to me struggling with anxiety or depression, I might reveal a little of my story and then help them find the resources they need to help themselves. Students struggling with finances, again, tell them a little of my story so they can feel a bit of connection and know that they're not alone, which is a phrase I repeat a lot. And then I help them find resources to make their decisions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. It makes sense in the university setting, but what would be your response to, I mean, people like in my situation where you do that and you make less money?
I think it's all about knowing how and when to self-disclose is the term, to talk about yourself. I mean, if you're in customer service, it's not too much that you talk about yourself. But I also know that, like, for instance, if I'm talking to either a server at a restaurant or, say, an employee at a store or on the phone to someone who's working with me on some kind of support issue, I have no problem revealing my sexual orientation. My tax lady, even. I have no problem talking about it. I told her, like 5 minutes of our conversation, it came up. Because there's always that question of, are you married? And like, oh, I wish I was married, but no man seems to want to marry me. And then, you know, that's a self-disclosure right there. And then I find there's some folks who are like, okay, let's move on. And other folks who laugh at the joke. And now we're more connected. So maybe in a fill of customer service, you're not necessarily running around with a rainbow flag.
Sure.
But again, if you're talking to someone and they bring it up, or if they, like, you know, talk with us on issues, or you think they could somehow benefit from hearing a relevant part of your story, then I say go ahead and share it.
Sure. And, you know, I think that's kind of the line that I've narrowed out is, you know, as much as they share with me, I feel like as long as, because in that professional setting, you have to let the customer, you know, set the boundaries. If I see, for example, and I do this a lot, and this might not even be good, so don't judge me, but feel free to, you know, correct me if I don't think this is the way to do it. So if I see, like, a gay couple that I'm waiting on, I will treat them differently. I will, you know, I'll even do the, get a little, my wrist a little bit limper, you know what I mean? And just subconsciously, I'll, not quite the yes claim, but close, because I know that, you know, you can connect on that level.
Are you doing that authentically, or are you doing that as a performance so they can know who you are without you having to say it?
I mean, customer service is a performance, beginning and end.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, is that true?
I don't work in customer service, so
okay,
it's
no,
hard
fair
for
enough.
Me to say that.
So is that does that make it okay, or is that merely an excuse? I don't have an answer to this.
I mean, you're treating them different because you connect with them more. We all connect with people. Like, I connect with certain students more than I connect with others. It's just humans are humans. But it's not like you're giving them free food or paying for a bill yourself so they don't have to pay or anything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, you're right. If you were a stand-up comedian, you would play to one audience different than you would play to another. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
It's not necessarily even, I mean, you shouldn't do that if you're a straight guy and just trying to exploit the, you know, to get a bigger tip. So you should, there's a level of authenticity that you need to respect, but you can still, you know, play to your audience, I think. And even so, this, we're almost running out of time already, but let me ask you, does that extend into other areas as well, maybe non-professional settings? Do you play to your, I mean, I think everybody does this. Do you play to your parents differently than do you do your friends?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, who are you being inauthentic to?
Friends differently.
Yeah, that's very true.
There's different
so, I mean, you get my point?
We're all more than one kind of thing, though, right? So I can
humans
see different parts of the same shape without changing my shape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm a cube, because I am pretty nerdy, so I guess a square cube, a square is pretty much a good shape for me to be. So if I'm a cube, because, you know, we live in a three-dimensional world. Yeah. That was a joke, but never mind.
No, I get it. I'm sorry.
I can show different people different sides. Oh, thank you. I can show different people different sides of my cube and still be a cube. If I were to start being inauthentic, like going, hey, yo, 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 or being like, yeah, neither one of those is anywhere close to who I am. That
mm-hmm.
would be like changing my shape, you know?
I get it, and I think that's a good analogy is you can show people different sides of yourself that's still authentic, even if it's not the entirety of your being.
Yeah. Different situations require different performance, different parts of myself. I'm not going to be super formal at home or with friends, but I would be super formal at a black tie event or at a political event where I'm with elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be fun and goofy with certain friends that I wouldn't be fun and goofy with other groups, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all sorts of lines and whatnot. But it's definitely not a clear-cut issue, I think.
Sure. And sometimes...
Oh. Sorry.
Yeah, please.
No, go for it.
No, go.
No, you go.
You go.
Okay.
No, you go.
I'll go.
You go.
Okay. I'll go. Fine.
No, I'll go. Okay, here. I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
No, I this is just a small pet peeve of mine. Don't feel bad. I hate it when someone says no judgment or don't judge me or something like that because we judge everything always, period. There's always, anytime you look at something and form an opinion, that's a judgment. But that doesn't mean you have to negatively appraise something. So you can tell me, oh, this is how I do my job. I can be like, that's a positive thing. And that could be slightly positive to like incredibly positive. That's a bad thing. That could be slightly negative to incredibly negative. Or I could be like, huh, I have no real opinion on that. All of those are judgments. It's just a matter of whether you're negatively appraising it or not negatively appraising it.
Yes, but I'd like to push back on that, even if it's just a matter of semantics. So, I mean, judgments and opinions, I think, are completely different. Opinions are okay, and it's even okay to verbalize those. But whenever the problem, in my opinion, is whenever you take your own personal experience and apply that on the other person and think that because of your experience in life, they should have the same opinion that you do. I think that's where we could run into trouble. You can have an opinion, but don't expect the other person to share your opinion.
Yeah, and your opinion is your judgment of, oh, mm-hmm. they're doing it like this. That's a bad thing. The next why are they doing like this? Where you're applying value to the person based off of that judgment, that's the bad thing.
Yes, I agree with you. And, yeah, it's just a matter of semantics. I think that whenever I say that, you know, I'm not going to judge you for your opinion, and I mean that, I don't mean that I'm not going to have an opinion on what you're saying, but it just, like you're saying, it just doesn't mean that I view you as a less valuable person because you have a different opinion than I do.
Yeah, it's a semantical thing, but it's a semantical thing that really irritates me.
I get it. I can't guarantee that I won't say that again, but I get what you're saying.
Oh, I told you, you don't have to feel bad about it. It's not, I'm judging you.
Oh, I don't feel bad. I'm just letting you know that. Yeah.
No,
I'm kidding.
I love you anyway.
Yeah. Yes, Clayne.
Oh, my. I cut you off earlier. What were you going to say?
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
It wasn't important, I guess. That's all right. So let's go ahead and wrap this one up. And
on Wednesday, we're talking about sex. Isn't that exciting?
Sex!
Yeah.
My voice got really high right there and kind of squeaky. I don't know why. I guess
I assume
the
you're
normal...
so excited for it that you can't
maybe,
contain
yeah.
yourself.
Yee! Or maybe I just squeaked. Do I just squeak during sex? Is that what happens?
I wouldn't know.
Well, that wasn't a legitimate question, like Andre, you'd know. But
so yes, join us on Wednesday where we talk about sex. And perhaps, does Bruce squeak? Maybe you should have your boyfriend on and he can tell us definitively if he squeaked during sex or not.
I don't know if I want to expose him to you yet. I don't know if he hasn't done anything bad enough to deserve that quite yet.
Well,
wait.
There's any conclusion to this, shade on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all.
Come back on Wednesday. We'll be talking about sex.
Bye, y'all.